A5, number 17B.
Right, he changes the subject to life, and it says, and it shall come to pass afterward. See, afterward. After what? After we have seen the operation of principle and acknowledge the standpoint of principle as ever operative. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. See, that's life, the inspiration. Huh? That pouring out of inspiration upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. See, one has to know the tone. They get the inspiration of life. Huh? They shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your old men, the wise men, begin to see new vision, life. Your young men shall see visions. Can you hear? The whole tone is about the newness of inspiration, of vision. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit, even on those. So he takes in the whole human family, so to say, and say that principle pours out its spirit to everyone individually. Not one is left out. Not one situation is not touched by the inspiration of life. There is an answer to every question, to everything. To all the arguments of animal magnetism, there is an answer, and there is an inspired answer. And not only some excluded ones, some chosen ones, but everyone. The old men, the young men, the children, the husbands, and the wives, and the sons, and the daughters, they all get it. Everyone. Then I go to chapter 3. For behold, in those days, and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. You know, that's a rendering which you have very often in the prophets. When I shall bring the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem means when the Lord will bring back the captives from Babylon back to Judah and Jerusalem. That's their renderings. It was always the prophecy, one day the Lord will free the people in the Babylonic captivity and will bring them home to the promised land. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat means God will judge. And you hear at once truth, the judgment of truth. In the Bible, in the textbook, the moment Mrs. Eddy speaks of judging and the judgment, it's truth. Because that's the only judgment and the only standard according to which one can judge is the measurement of truth. And will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel. Here he will plead for the heritage. Truth is the inheritance. Man is the heir of God, the son of God. He inherits all. Whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And he goes on all about that inheritance. And 12, let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. And see how he sees that when once through the inspiration of life we have inherited the standard of truth, that truth will judge animal magnetism. Always when it says that it will judge the heathen, it means the heathen were always those who didn't believe in God, was always the wrong sense of manhood. 14, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. 16, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heaven and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Can you see what he's showing in that whole chapter 3? See that he begins to see, once we have turned to the Lord in soul, then principle begins to operate and brings back all what we seem to have lost. And when principle operates, it gives to each one in life the inspiration of life. And that inspiration of life gives us truth, namely that standard with which we can judge the situation rightly, the valley of Jehoshaphat. And in that consciousness, we can see what is truth and what is error. We can make that decision. And I was reading, what was I reading? 16, 17, so shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy. Then comes the point. And there shall no strangers pass through her anymore. See, he had promised right at the beginning that that army of animal magnetism will come, but it will only come once and no more. Joel is showing, I will show you the method how to deal with animal magnetism. Once you have seen that method, animal magnetism will have no more chance to come and inherit our land and destroy our land and our everything. It just will have no more chance to invade our consciousness. There shall no strangers pass through her anymore. That's truth. Huh? We have that whole inheritance as a divine consciousness. And so there is no more a chance for animal magnetism just to come up whenever it likes to come up and say, oh, here I am, I'm coming again, huh? I lick you again for a while. Says, no. Once you have seen that law, then you have seen it. And then you are safe. No stranger shall pass through her anymore. Wouldn't it be wonderful? No strange consciousness will pass through our consciousness anymore. No consciousness of fear, of deceit, of consciousness of lack, or anything will pass through us anymore. Then comes the tone of love. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine. You know, the mountains drop down new wine. You just can see how those mountain hills are flooded by wine, you see. It's not just a little grape that gives a little bit of wine. It just superabundance comes right down. The mountains drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk. Not only a bucket full of milk, the hills shall flow with milk. And all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters. Water was so important for that, those wilderness country. And a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt was always one of the cankerworms, and the caterpillar, all the Babylonians and the Assyrians and the Hittites and the Egyptians and so on. Egypt shall be a desolation. And Edom, we knew Edom, shall be a desolate wilderness for the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah, can you see the opposites. First he depicts the Egypt and Edom, and now comes Judah. But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. For the Lord dwellers in Zion. You have again, usually this prophecy ends somehow that the Lord dwelleth in Zion, that the Lord dwelleth on Mount Zion and so on, showing the kingdom is the Lord's. Just showing now the whole question of evil is solved. That gives you a sense of the superabundance of love, that the hills drop with wine and that the hillsides are flooded with milk, and there is no more that picture at the beginning where the creepy crawlies comes and take away everything. Do you see that story? So if you look away from the symbolism of the Bible, we have a terrific story. It's a story that says, how on earth can I deal with that claim of animal magnetism? You know that you are in a happy mood and everything goes fine and you are joyous and everything is wonderful, and suddenly something happens and it seems to rob us of everything we had. Takes away our happiness, takes away our joy, wants to take away our future, wants to take away our hope, wants to take away our perspective for our mission and what we are doing, just wants to depress us. And so we must find a law with which we can handle that situation. And here in Joel, it is very interesting, see, that he depicts now those seven synonymous terms, not all either in the negative or in the positive. But very often you will see this, that the negative is depicted in mind and spirit up to the middle of soul, to the 3.5. And when that is shown, then they turn their standpoint to principle. And then principle, life, truth, and love is positive. Here you have it like this. Every time when we have such a situation, the analysis will first be to analyze the claim of evil. It says in mind, it says, listen, it seems as if there is an army of mortal mind at work that comes along and really seems to be very numerous and very powerful and very strong. Because mind, the divine mind says, I'm alone strong, I'm the power, I'm infinite, I'm the infinite power. That's why evil wants to reverse that and say, no, mortal mind is powerful, mortal mind is unlimited, mortal mind can do any trick to you. What is mortal mind going to do? In spirit it says, it can take away all your substance, everything what you have, until everything lays waste. And it gives that terrific picture how this army of animal magnetism just eats up everything positive within us. Anyway, it claims to do that. It can't do it. And in the third, in soul, usually it is that something in us says, the wrong in us says, and I can't resist it. There's nothing to counteract it. That animal magnetism just comes so definite, so strong, so powerful, so direct, so disciplined, so intentional, that there is no way of how to stop that. It just comes like a chariot and like a horse and like horsemen and like fire, and it just comes down the mountain and climbs over the wall, and it gets into every window and it gets into every room and just eats up everything, and there is nothing to stop it except turn ye to the Lord. Turn away from that whole picture. Turn away. Turn to the Lord. You just turn away exactly. instead of looking at animal magnetism and arguing with animal magnetism or what the animal magnetism tells us and listen to the arguments, it says, turn completely, just away to something completely different. Look into the infinitude of mind, and there you will find a completely different story. Turn ye to the Lord. The more identify yourself with the Lord. If I identify myself with the Lord, principle comes along and says, well, then you are at the standpoint of principle. Then you look out only as principle looks out. And if you look at principle, then you see that principle alone operates. He does the work. He said, what was that? The Lord will do great things. And he will restore all what the cankerworts and the palmer worms and the caterpillar have eaten up. He will restore all that through the operation of the divine principle. Just open up your thought. If you open up your thought in life, you get all the inspiration you need. And don't think you are too small. Even the servants will get the inspiration, and the young men will get the inspiration, and the young daughters will get the inspiration. You don't need to be an old hand at metaphysics. You can be right what you are. You get the inspiration of a new vision. Suddenly the things will open up. Life will open up. You see a new vision. You see a new way. You see a new mission. You see a new way to do it. You see a new purpose in life. And that new purpose in life is that which gives you the inheritance in truth. And says, no stranger will anymore come into your land. If you stick to that principle, and principle pours out its inspiration, the vine of inspiration, then nothing can pour in. The more, you know, life is terrific. Life says, I'm the well of life, I pour out. You just have a sense of pouring out. You give, you give, you give your whole vision. What can flow against it? It's very difficult to swim against the stream. And certainly you can't go into the source. Terrific strength of life that just pours out a new vision and gives you a new vision, gives to each one of us a new mission, opens up a new life, opens up new channels, opens up new possibilities, opens up new opportunities, opens up, opens up, opens up, opens up. That's the vine that flows down the hills. That vine that flows down the hills, that milk of inspiration flows down the hill. It's more than what we accept. Terrific. And nothing can flow against it anymore. No stranger will come in anymore. We have won the victory. Once and for all. That's the Valley of Jehoshaphat, where the stranger will be judged. And no stranger will come anymore into our consciousness. And then in love, we see that behind it was the plan of love. Love that wanted to give us more than we had before. Because in love he showed that the mountain is dropping of new wine, and the hill shall flow with milk, and in Judah shall flow the waters more than what we had at the beginning. He restores more than what we had in the beginning. That's what love wants to do. Once we touch the synonymous term, they touch us. And my boy, they touch us. And they begin to change in our life what has to be changed. They take us away from the old ruts and bring us into the new channels of life, into new missions. And the only thing is that we don't resist it, that we go along with it. Turn ye to the Lord. Don't turn against it and say, the Lord has brought me this. The Lord has allowed animal magnetism to creep in. Don't say that. The Lord is not strong enough, and he couldn't withstand animal magnetism. Never say that. There is no animal magnetism at work. There is only the law of love at work. And if you see that and turn to the Lord, now identifying yourself with the principle instead of with the old ruts, then the principle will work on you and operate on you, and by golly, it does something. That's what good old Joel wanted to tell us. Yes. I think that's all for today.